What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. This is Resistance in Residence, where we profile artists using their gifts to change the world. Our Resistance in Residence artist this week, again, is multi-hyphenated artist Dr. Ayodele Wordslinger Nzinga. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Ayo.
I am so happy to be here. How you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm excited I get to talk to you the way we've been running lately. I'm like, I think she's still my friend. I don't know. I haven't seen her in forever.
Damn fast. I haven't seen myself.
This is, I think, your third time on this segment, but that's okay because you keep doing fabulous things. We're going to talk about your latest release soon. That said, since the last time you were on, we have expanded. We now are simulcast in Los Angeles, so I want to introduce you to our comrades, our relatives in SoCal. Tell people a little bit about you, where you grew up, how you found art, what you do.
I found the arts as a small person, so I'm literally living my dreams right now. I've wanted to be an actress since I knew what it meant to say what you want to be. And since wanting that, I built every platform I could possibly could to explore that dream. My theater company, the Lower Bottom Players, is the oldest North American African theater company in Oakland. We are 26 years old this year. And we've been so on fire lately, too. We haven't even had a chance to celebrate turning 25. We're going to do that at the end of August. So a theater company led to being deeply embedded in a community. And I'm a nerd, so I'm interested in why this piece of theater now, working in the Black arts continuum, how does the work I choose keep me in conversation with the people who I want to be in conversation with, led me to understand things about displacement and North American Africans and redlining and purposeful planning for failing to thrive. And so all of that is sort of woven into the art, but that also prompted me then to create a community development corporation when the city declared it had a Black arts movement district, because that is the continuum that I work in. And at the behest of the West Coast Godfather of the Black arts movement, I've been trying to use that district to leverage a way for Black art to continue to be made in Oakland. And a couple of years ago, maybe four, they made me the Poet Laureate of Oakland. And so, I'm doing a few things.
Just a few. And you brought up some things. I wasn't going to go here, but I am. And I don't think we've had this conversation. You are a scholar. Yep. In addition to being an artist, you are an actual real life scholar. Talk a little bit about that road and then how you're... I know there's a word that really means what I'm trying to say, but I'm a writer, so I'm gonna make it up. Talk about how your scholarliness intersects with your art, your artistry.
I like to think I make smart art. The work is all based on theory. Even the imaginal work is based on theory. I am a theoretician and a practitioner. So as a scholar, I hypothesize. I think that this thing or this thing is happening in the world, and I observe it. A piece of relevant piece of scholarship that people might be interested in looking at is No Resting Place, which is an accessible three-part article that you can cop online that sort of tells you about gentrification, redlining, West Oakland in particular. I'm also a practitioner. It's cool to think about stuff. I am an egghead. I really do like contemplating the complexities, the intersections of things. But there's the way everybody learns differently. I'm a person who learns by doing. So once you hypothesize that, you got to go get your hands dirty You have to roll your sleeves up. I think that you build what you need in this world. So the theory is the imagining, the conceptual part of it, the dreaming part of it. And then there's the part where you have to go build it, because dreams are good, they're fuel, but we need tangible things, things we can touch, like paychecks and space, in order to make art, the ability to be able to grant one another access and not to always be begging. So yeah, the thought fuels that. And even that last bit, that's a nice thought. Let's go do that in the world. And I'm doing that in the world.
You are the founder and director of the Lower Bottom Players, which is the oldest Black theater troupe in Oakland, California. And I'm not gonna talk about, may be the last sort of really active Black theater troupe in Oakland, California. And one of the remarkable things about the Lower Bottom Players is that they're the only theater troupe in the world to have completed the August Wilson Century Cycle in chronological order. And you are now embarking on that again. As we are having this conversation, there is Up and Running is Two Trains Running by August Wilson. And Lily Janiak, who's a local theater critic here, saw fit to come back and uplift you. And she says, if you were looking to name the Bay Area's foremost expert on the great African American bard August Wilson, it'd be hard to beat Ayodele
Yes.
Nzinga. Yeah.
I'm gonna take that jewel and stick it in my crown.
Listen, I read that and I felt the joy in your body and mine. I was
Yes.
like, yes,
And
yes, yes.
it was Lily Janek who actually reached out to the August Wilson House the year that we did Radio Golf in the completion of the cycle, and actually verified with the Wilson House that, to their knowledge, no one else has ever done it in chronological order. So I want to make it clear, other troops have done all 10, but we're talking about the ritual of 1 through 10 that even the master himself didn't see, because he did not write them in order. So he never lived to see all 10 of them performed in order, which I submit to you is a power ritual, but that's a whole other show. And right now, we're not going back through it in chronological order. We're just stunting. We're picking through them, and we're establishing a pattern of where we do original work 1 year, and then the next year we do pieces from Wilson. Yeah. Right now we're doing Two Trains Running, which is so perfect for right now. It's about land usage and eminent domain. And beyond eminent domain, as the city is in its planning phase for its next 25 years, it draws a light on that cities plan the use of land for 30 years at a time. And it allows you to look at the fact that down here where I'm sitting in the bottoms, this has always been mixed use industrial. This was not designed necessarily for human thriving. It is changing with gentrification. You can see it being rebuilt into a place where people live, so Two Trains is this wonderful way to look at gentrification, redevelopment, displacement, how they play out in North American African life over and over again, as well as look at a beautiful set, very diverse Black men who are going through what it means to live at a time that's right after the death of Malcolm and Martin, right before the Black Power movement takes hold. It's interesting to see those personalities and then think about the people I know in real life right now, and think about Oakland in this moment right now. As people struggle to hold on to businesses, people I've seen hustle and get it out the mud, come up one brick at a time, and not being able to hold on here in Oakland.
There's a little bit about the artistic significance of Wilson in your life. my witnessing of you is that you have a personal relationship with August Wilson. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
Wilson and I are having an affair. His wife doesn't care because it started after he died. But I have a lot of ghosts running around in my house, and Wilson talks to me. Wilson, if you think about it, Kat, you think about my theater troupe, and you think about some of the people I've been working with for 20 years, and you look at the lives of those people now. Wilson came and gave us language for something we intuitively knew. It spoke to us in a way that was so deep, it was actually life transforming. And again, to do these plays in chronological order has a particular kind of effect on a scholar and an artist, a director and an actor, to be with this work in that way and understand, first of all, a mastery of it. You know, I think we diminish Wilson when we call him America's Shakespeare. I not to take anything from Shakespeare. It's just that I wish that there was another way for me to describe the magnificence of Wilson without comparing him to a European. But that's the way we understand things over here. After all, they call Broadway the Great White Way. So Wilson is where I learned. First of all, I used to make everything site specific. It all happened in West Oakland, California. I used Lorraine Hansberry, A Raisin in the Sun, to tell Black people, don't sell your houses to white developers. That's how we rewrote that piece so it could be of service to West Oakland in that moment. We rewrote Macbeth. And you know, I was looking for work samples the other day. Do you realize that Macbeth, Mac a Gangster's Tale, has been internationally scholarly written up? You know, where people have talked about our Mac a Gangster's Tale here in the Lower Bottoms, and how it fits into a certain genre that we broke into of translating the classics into popular language and hip hop, and redoing the bard's language with North American African Ebonics, and rewriting the tale, because we talked about gang banging with Mac a Gangster's Tale. So Wilson gave us a way to tie together kind of the journey we're on here. It kind of gave us a through point. Wilson took us and baptized us in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and reminded us of where we came from. And Wilson, I think, inbred in me the importance of memory and how difficult it is for North American Africans to remember, how painful, how traumatic memory is. And anybody can imagine if you're walking through the world without memory. You know, I have a friend who just made an album called Goldfish. He told me that he discovered that goldfish only have a 3-minute memory. Now you think about how many goldfish end up in the toilet. Memory is an important tool, you know. So Wilson poked something in me that reminded me that it was my duty to remember. Wilson was my gateway to ancestor reverence, and understanding that we were all part of an ongoing story that began before our parents were born. And so in being in that ongoing story, we have a responsibility to this moment. And a part of that responsibility, which Wilson shows us in the work, and it's so important for this very moment. Don't let them gaslight you. You are where you are in your journey. You know, at this point in time, where they want to rewind and tell you slavery wasn't that bad, and you know, we just got to the point where there is validation for the immense amount of trauma. And the word resilience is overused, but acknowledgement of the persistence of the pursuit of equity, pursuit of full personhood. I think we confuse ourselves. We say we want to be fully American. Now we want to be fully human. So the idea, the amount of gaslighting that's going on right now in the world, trying to confuse you about whether or not it's a good idea to walk around with your eyes open and to be conscious. How the hell did getting that being aware of your surroundings and your history become something that was dangerous and should be? That is the biggest piece of gas. Can't you smell it? So Wilson reminds you that you've been in a particular conversation for 400 years. And if you really look at it, kind of the only things really changed are the titles we call ourselves and the music we listen to. Every now and then we invent new music. Every now and then some music drops that you have to listen to it a while before you can figure out how to dance to it. Even clothes, you just keep what you got, way long enough, you're gonna be able to wear the same thing, you know? Hairstyles, everything is cyclical. And so this idea of process when you walk a progress when you walk around in a circle and you can't quite finish your conversation is an illusion. And for somebody to break into that process and just tell you, we'll just forget all that. We're in a post-race world, and actually, slavery was not a bad thing. You've had it wrong all these years, and now move along. Well, if the state of Black is currently traumatizing and difficult to wear, then how do you wear that? How do you wear that kind of invisibilization being echoed through every piece of media that you consume?
Told y'all she was a scholar. Dr. Ayodele Nzinga, word slanger Nzinga, you just released a new album book collection, your poetry, Ghetto Grimoire. For
Yes.
folks who may not know, what is a grimoire?
It's a spell book. And spell books could be looked at as maps, cartography, something that tells you how to get from one place to another, how to resolve a situation, how to change a space, how to create a reality or undo a reality to unspell. It is a spell book.
So this is a spell book for the ghetto.
Spell book for the hood. And I had a young white man ask me at my record reading, what is a ghetto? And my response, a ghetto is a place where anywhere there is a collection of people who have in common two or more factors. Within that definition, Piedmont's a ghetto. Upperly mobile Black and white people live there. They're white collar people. Beverly Hills is a ghetto. That's where performers who are upwardly mobile live. And the Lower Bottoms is a ghetto. It is a place that it was redlined with people of a certain class. And even within that class, which might have been diversified in color, Black people in that class were the people who were held here. Everyone else was eventually able to move into other areas, but we were held down here where it's mixed industrial and the air's bad and it's an asthma club. This is a ghetto. And even as it redoes itself, it is now a ghetto with million-dollar homes in it. Oh.
I was just talking to, I don't know, a group of some oh black folks listening at an organizing meeting, and I talked about the bottoms being a representation, an actual physical representation of dialectical materialism. As if you
Yes.
s you know if you sit at that corner of Peralta and 14th,
Yes.
that liquor store with Huey's face on it, people sleeping underneath it, and right across the street, million-dollar homes.
Yes. Yes. And the people who sit on East 14th are actually displaced from a few blocks over where tradition was. They used to go out there and sit in their chairs across four corners. And on all four corners, they would sit out there on their chairs. And these were people in the community. They get out there early in the morning with their coolers, you know. They play dominoes and gossip. And it was like those corners where the stoops or the porches all pulled together there. And I can remember people complaining about them and speculating about how all of these mostly elderly people could sit out there, what they might be doing and what kind of commerce might be going on. So I see that one, the tradition and some of the people have been dislocated, and this is West Oakland, so they're still within their with the space that they feel that they belong. And I've heard and seen in these white rooms like next door, where they speculate now about them on 14th Street and totally miss the fact that they're actually living there, you know, and that outside setup that they see, that's their kitchen. And they come out in their parlor in their living room, and they you know, interact with the people who are across the street over there. So it is interesting to see people define a space from the outside, and people who even with their million-dollar homes are basically temporary. These are investments, these are starter homes. This was come out here while it's still the frontier, and then you will be able to parlay yourself into someplace else. There's a tech bro, and his wife has some sort of white collar job. They live two houses down, houses taller than everything else, and they've got cameras in all directions and occasionally fly a drone. They're not going to stay here.
Right.
They, you know, if you need cameras in all directions and a drone, okay, you don't feel safe. You don't feel like you're a part of the neighborhood, and this is a transitory place on your way to, and you will eventually rent that. So actually, literally, I've seen development melt the concept of what neighborhood or what community could or should or used to mean, and wonder how do we translate that into something that serves us in the same way with this a dispersion. Because when you get redevelopment, when you get gentrification, and you get the kind of dispersion that you got off a slave ship when they went from port to port and let you out. So once again, we were being dispersed. And you know that if you disperse me, if you take me out of where I am and put me someplace else, first of all, the way this space can represent Blackness changes because my voice isn't here anymore. And when you take me and set me someplace where I am in a minority, then my voice has been diluted. And then on top of that, I don't really belong where I am. So I have to stay there and be there and respectfully pay my dues and learn before I have the right to open my mouth somewhere else. I just colonization didn't take me deeply. So I understand that if I am relocated, I don't get to go and just take that and make that my own. That's not how that works.
I could talk to you for always and ever, and I always lose track of time, and we are beyond time, but I would like you to read at least a piece of a piece off of Ghetto Grimoire to close us out.
Okay, not from Ghetto Grimoire. I can read you a piece from Augury, the new anthology that's coming out. Ghetto Grimoire, you gotta listen to it. It's an
Okay.
album and it's a vinyl. How cool is that?
I can't wait to grab it and put it in on my record player. All
Okay,
right.
but here is Unwinged. I'm gonna read it and you take of it what you can for your broadcast, okay? Here
Okay.
you go. This is called Unwinged. So we here now, learning how to fly again, wondering what else might have been forgotten. Dreams of a small chocolate girl, hand over soaring heart, all for one indivisible. Lies that will unravel like ribbons on empty boxes. Teenage boys throwing beer cans, screaming nigga at a 7-year-old. America's never really lived here. Arrival uncertain, delayed, denied, rewritten, restricted, reserved for them that ain't you. Bait been switched so many times. Is the prize the smoke or the mirrors? Rumors of America acting like she's special when she ain't at home acting a fool. She good at throwing rocks and hiding the sentences that make no sense. And this is being recited from the fictive section of the myth that unmade humans built fences, smothers languages, and eats gods as it murders children. Imagine you understand. Following truth benders through the funhouse, trying to remember where you put your wings and where you're going when you find the door. Still becoming through plot twist in a story in default, undressing itself while we watch. Unlearning, regrounding, back to the basics. We will learn to fly again, or we will drown. All of us, indivisible, with God looking. We are here now, wondering what else has been forgotten. And I'm just going to stop there. Unwinged. If you want to finish the poem, buy the anthology that has another 10, 15 poets in it. It's a beautiful anthology. Get that. And then pick up Ghetto Grimoire. It is my new album. And once again, it is available in digital download and vinyl.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA, that's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. Our Resistance in Residence theme music was composed by Jesse Strauss. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listeners. If you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.